2 Corinthians chapter 6. I may drop tools that I have in my hand, drop eggs, trip over stuff. I'll never let go of this Bible. Amen. I want you to do something ahead of schedule in 2 Corinthians 6. We're gonna go into verse 14, not today. I don't think we get it today, but I'm ready to do it if we get that far. But in 2 Corinthians 6, 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to go on down 15, 16, 17, 18. To say that God does not have conditions upon which He saves somebody is in error. It is. And you just read this. There are conditions. You cannot have one leg in the world and the other leg in God's house. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He can't figure out whose side he's going to be on. Friendship with the world is enmity with God, John said, I believe. And he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, these things are of the world, they are enmity with God. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. No man can have two masters. Over and over and over in the Bible, it is repeated to us that God calls His people out. He separates them. Even if you are living, as Lot did, in Sodom, Lot was still separate. When the angels went to Sodom, they went right to Lot's house. God had called him out. And so to say that, as some do, that there are no conditions set upon our salvation, I'm not preaching works, never have, never will. Don't even lay that nonsense on me. But when God saves people, He calls them out. That's what He does. Okay? And I want you to think of this. What if I come into church one Sunday morning, ready to teach and ready to preach, and I had my business suit on from here up and had a woman's dress from the waist down coming out here, okay? Had lipstick around my mouth and big old long pearl earrings hanging out of my ear. Who would allow me to stand behind this desk with this Bible and let me teach and preach? Not a chance. Shoot me dead. Get me out of your misery and my misery both. Amen? Just end it. You cannot have the fusion of these. If you look, I'm teaching it already. Don't mean to, but I want you to study this out. Light does not commune with darkness. If you go into a dark room, turn the light on, it's light. Darkness has to leave. All right? You cannot have it both ways. And just you study that first. You be the Berean. You study the Word. Study yokes in the Bible, because that's where we're going to start out with, a yoke that ties two people together. And He means that. Think of two oxen on a yoke together. And if one of those oxen is stronger than the other, guess where they're going? They're going wherever way the strong one goes. So you ponder that and you think about that. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then as workers together with Him beseech you also in that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. We talked about that last Sunday. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much of patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, and He's not saying that we deceive people with the truth. They will accuse you of being deceivers. Okay? As deceivers. They'll accuse you of that, but you're telling the truth. As unknown and yet well known. As dying, and behold we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Now I'm going to go back to, I'm going to try to finish this up this morning, this idea of temporary Christians. He said that you receive not the grace of God in vain, and a lot of it has to do with rejection. Saul rejected the word of the Lord. Solomon did not. David did not. All of these men were sinners. But in the case of someone rejecting what God said and saying, well, that's not for us, or they'll invent new things and say, God said it, and God said, I never said it. What do I have up on the screen here? Let me go to, let's see here. I don't know if I'm even... Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. Turn there. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? I want you to consider that. The wise men. The men who should know better. The men who supposedly have studied the Bible and studied theology and studied this and studied that, they should have come to the conclusion that the Bible's right and they should accept it. But the problem is just like what Paul said, I think, in Romans chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And God will choose the foolish of this world. He's talking about us. Don't be offended at that. Amen? Don't be offended. God has chosen the foolish of the world to confound the wise. Anybody, and I have been in academic areas, scholarly circles. I made that part of my life at one time, and I know how these guys think, and I know how they talk for the most part. And let me tell you something. If you're someone, you worked in a factory, or you worked on cars, or you've worked out on a farm all your life, or whatever, you're not of any high position as far as this world is concerned, and yet you believe that God created the universe in 6 days, 6,000 years ago, the evening and the morning were the first day, that's not even an issue with you. You just believe it. If you believe that the water that flooded the entire earth went 15 cubits higher than the highest mountain, if you believe that, I'll tell you, you have more wisdom in those two places and just knowing those two things in your life than most of the scholars do who teach in our seminaries and Bible colleges and everything else. It seems like the more higher up in the scholarly ladder they go, the less they believe the Bible for what it says. They're the ones who are always out to change it. So they've rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Verse 10, therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Just a little side note on this one. My good friend Al Gross used to say this all the time. He used to say it on their morning radio show. He said, your doings or your actions will always determine or show forth your belief. And I thought, that's very wise. That is what James was getting at when faith and works go together. If someone says they believe in God and they believe the Bible and all this stuff, their actions will show it. That is the works added to the faith. If they say they believe in God, believe the Bible, believe in salvation, believe in Jesus Christ, and yet what they do denies that, they're lying through their teeth. And their faith, what they say they believe, is dead, because it has not the works that goes with it. You always do what you believe in. There have been no atheists come into this church, said amen to the messages, got up and testified. They don't do that. Atheists don't go to church and say amen and testify. Why? Because they do what they believe in or what they don't believe in. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in a deity. They don't believe anything like that. You will not find them attending church regularly and saying amen to the messages. See how that works? It's what they believe in. You, however, believe the Word of God. Okay? You believe in Christ. You believe in salvation. You believe in God. And you're here. You're watching online. You're sitting out there in Kenya. You believe the Bible. And your actions are showing forth your faith. So I'll just kind of add that in there. All right? But anyway, they're given to covetousness, and their lust and their sins and their wickedness have altered their belief about God. People will always, when they love sin and they want to hang on to it, they will alter the Bible so that they can retain their sin and their wickedness. Okay? Now move on. Verse 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. We were covering this and talking about that, I think, on Wednesday night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. And here we have the prophets and the priests and everybody, the wise people, saying peace, peace, and there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall. Study things that fall. They shall fall among them that fall. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Lucifer falls. One third of the angels are fallen. Let's see here. They fell at Sodom and Gomorrah. They fell at Jericho. Babylon is fallen. There should be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. When the falling away takes place, these who have told everybody that God wants you to be healthy and wealthy and with a big smile on your face, he wants you to be rich and all this stuff, they're saying peace, peace to you, and they commit abominations. They are not ashamed about it. Therefore, when the falling takes place, they are going to fall. Why? Because there's nothing holding them up. There is no foundation. There's no solid rock upon which they lean. Nothing. They are going to fall when that time of falling comes. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Hosea chapter 4. Turn there. Look at this. It's all about rejection. They reject God's word. They reject the Bible. They reject what God said. They reject what is written. Study that in your Bible. Study the word written. Jesus, in defeating Satan in his temptations in the wilderness, said, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's what he said. Jesus himself gave testimony to the power of the written word of God. That's what he did. Police officers cannot arrest. Judges and courts cannot convict someone of breaking a law that does not exist in the law books. Usually in every courtroom, there is, and I don't know every courtroom, but there is a library of statutes. The Missouri Revised Statutes. And what it contains is all the written laws, all the laws passed by the legislature, state of Missouri, all those things that have become law, they're there. I heard a judge one time, and I wanted to shout and do flip-flops in the courtroom. He was determining a very, very serious issue, and he said, it doesn't matter what I want to do, it doesn't matter what you want me to do, it doesn't matter what the lawyers want, doesn't matter what this court wants, or if I were to take a vote of the people of this county, it does not matter what they want. What matters is I have to abide by the law. And if the law says that I'm to rule this way, then I must rule this way. If the law says that I'm to rule that way, then I must rule that way, and I cannot go around that. I wanted to shout. My heart leapt inside of me. Now, I wish we had judges all over the United States of America that had a respect for the Constitution and the law. Can I get somebody to say amen? Amen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, Hosea chapter 4 says. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. You ponder that for a while. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I've preached that message, or I've preached that verse before. You've heard it before. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This is the case right now in this country. Most people are so ignorant about the Constitution, about laws, about what our country is. I hear this all the time. Our country is a democracy. No, it is not. A democracy is the majority of a people's vote. That is not necessarily the case. We are a representative republic. We do not vote. The people do not vote and give approval on every issue that comes up. We elect representatives who then vote on these issues. Does that make sense to everybody? The electoral process is indicative of that. The will of the people in the state of Missouri, once the majority has voted, then the Electoral College of Missouri, they represent the will of the people and they cast their votes for president. Some people don't like that, some people do, but I'm just telling you, that is the government that we have in this country. It is representative in nature, and most people don't get that. They don't understand that, all right? Sometimes it works out our way, sometimes it doesn't, but that's the government. When they, and I've said this before, we live in a time right now where anybody, just about anybody, especially in this country, can search the scriptures in a matter of minutes and find an answer. They can do it. There's software out there. There's websites out there. We have one. We have a website. We have software where you can search the King James Bible. And in a matter of minutes, you can know just about anything you need to know out of the Word of God. You'll have it right there in front of you. But we now live in a time where there is more ignorance concerning what's in the law, what's in God's Word, than there ever has been in time. And God says, if you're going to reject the law of God and forget the law of God, I'm going to reject you. And what happens is, we'll have people, this is the theme we're following, we have people come into a church, they'll lay out a bunch of sins before God, act like they're sorry, act like, oh, I want to change. But when it really comes down to it, and God starts impressing upon them His way, His Word, His will, His commandments, His statutes, the things that God wants us to do, when they start having that given to them, they say, well, I don't want that. I'm going to find a way out of that, or that's not for us, or whatever. And I have a story. I knew a guy that they had tried to, people had, pastors and preachers trying to witness to him for years. He would never give his life to the Lord. One day, he was already retired. He was well on up in age. And he was going to church with his wife, and he finally got under conviction, went and asked God to forgive him, so on, and made a big deal about it. About a year later, that pastor, they've been going to church, that pastor started teaching the biblical account of creation. 6 days, 6,000 years ago. That man had words with the pastor after church saying, you know what it was? He was a retired high school science teacher. He said, I can't believe you're so ignorant as to believe that we were created 6 days, 6,000 years ago. That's a bunch of nonsense. Science has proven that wrong. And he just went raking this, and the pastor said, look, he said, that's what the Bible says. I can't preach anything other than what the Bible says. And that man said, you'll never see me here again. He left. Boom. You know what he did? He rejected. You can't accept John 3:16 and cast out Genesis 1. You can't do it. You accept, you want proof of that. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, you'll find it in Leviticus 26. You'll find it in Deuteronomy 29. You'll find it in your Bible. I'm going to show you words mean something. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do. What is the word after the word do in verse 1? All. How much does all mean? Means everything. Okay? All His commandments. How many of them can you bypass? How many of them can you reject? None. Let's simmer it down to 10 commandments. How many of those commandments can you reject and still be in favor with God? You can't do it. The Roman Catholic Church is built upon a bypass of, what is it? Second commandment? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven and earth. The Roman Catholic Church, in their official catechism, they take the second commandment out and then take the tenth commandment, divide it in two, so you still have ten. They say, number nine is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and so on. That's how they do it. So they play a little game with God's Word. You cannot do that. Amen? You must do all His commandments. And He said in verse 2, all these blessings shall come on thee. But then look at verse 15, same chapter. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. It's very, very simple. You cannot say, well, I believe 1 John 1:9, most of it, but you know all that stuff about Noah's Ark and Jonah being swallowed by a whale and giants. There wasn't no giants in the earth. The original Hebrew says something different. You cannot go through life rejecting portions of the Bible and say, I'm a Bible believer. They don't work. It doesn't work out. Your boss won't accept that from you. You cannot say to your boss wherever you work, well, you know, a lot of what you say I'll do, but there's just some things I'm not going along with it. Well, McDonald's is looking for you. Okay? Of course, you may work at McDonald's, all right? You have to go somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe get on welfare. But anyway, that's how it is. Matthew 21, verse 42. Now we're in the New Testament. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the Scriptures? Here it is. He's getting you to go to the Scriptures. He didn't say, God told me this secretly. He did not say that. He said, did you read in the Scriptures? In Hebrews chapter 10, when Jesus comes, He said, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. He's going to do it by the book. Joe, and what's your name again? Ryan? Did you ever have one of them sergeants that was by the book? Was you in the military? Huh? You had a couple of them. You are one of those. You're the man. By the book. There's a scene out of a movie, A Few Good Men. He said, I have two books by my bedside, the Marine Corps Code of Conduct and a King James Bible. I didn't like the character, but I went, it's right, you know. He wasn't following the Bible either. But anyway, if you got somebody that's following the book, let me tell you something. In a military situation or in a corporate situation, whatever company you work for or whoever you work for, when you follow the book and things go wrong, you cannot be blamed. If you followed procedure, if you followed the book, if you did what the book told you to do, you cannot be blamed. And that's what God is saying. Did you never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders, what? Rejected. The same as the head of the corner. We was talking about that the other day. That head of the corner. You've seen them lay a cornerstone on buildings, okay? That cornerstone sets the angles for the rest of the building. There's two essential parts. There's a foundation. Foundation's got to be right. But then that cornerstone is going to set forth the dimensions and the size and everything like that and how true that building's going to be. Sterling, I don't know if you remember this, but old Gene Cadehead out in Holman Farms years ago, they had built a house out there, and when the foundation guys poured the foundation, they poured that little offset for the chimney. Okay? Well, when they poured the concrete for that, somebody didn't set the forms right, and it started out the right dimension, and then it eased in a little bit so that at the beginning of it was this wide, and at the end of it was this wide. It was shorter. And you got to know Gene Cadenhead. I mean, he was something else. He looked at it, and somebody said, what are you going to do, Gene? He said, I'm going to lay brick on it. And he got up there, and he laid his brick out true. He laid them out exact. He did not accompany. He said, that'll fall. He said, that'll be on me if I don't lay this brick out right. And that last brick was just barely catching that foundation part of it. And it looked ridiculous because you had this square brickwork, and you had this faulty foundation that was angled in. It looked stupid. Okay? I don't know how they ever sold the house. I'd have said, you tear that back down and do something different. Okay? But he did it right. And you could tell. Listen, you can always tell. I don't lay bricks. I don't pour foundations. I walked up to it and just, I was 21 years old, looked at that, and I'm going, that ain't right. You know why? One was true and one wasn't. That cornerstone has to be spot on and has to be at the bottom. You cannot put the cornerstone at the top. Some of the translations, like the NIV, will take that, the cornerstone, and call him the capstone, which is the finishing piece. Okay? Nuh-uh. Let's start out down here and put the foundation and the cornerstone in so that the rest of that building is right. It's going to stay true. Amen? That's good stuff. Amen? They rejected that. They're building churches, they're building denominations, they're building religious movements off their, and they have rejected Christ and His Word in order to do it. And it won't work. The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Mark chapter 7, verse 9, He said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now, I'm going to ease into something here as we kind of trot along. Now, I'm kind of moving along on this. But Luke chapter 7, verse 30, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of Him. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. By the way, all of that was according to prophecy. It was all in the Old Testament how Jesus was to die. He was to be nailed. Okay? What are these wounds in thy hands? The prophet said. Fastened as a nail in a sure place. And on and on. You know, just all the Old Testament shadows and prophecies of Christ. They were all in the scripture, but he said the elders and the chief priests and the scribes will reject that. They will not accept it. Even though Jesus is on the cross and he's quoting Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They said, God confused them so much they did not even know what he said. Luke 17, 25, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. John 12, 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, he hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You go in courtroom. I saw this years ago. Mom and Dad had a little civil suit against somebody they rented to. And I saw the judge, after he heard the testimony, reach around behind him and he pulled out a book. And it was the Missouri Revised Statutes. And he was looking something up in that book because he was going to make a ruling and a judgment that had to be according to what was written. And I want to tell you something. When you stand before God one day, He's going to go and He's going to pull out a book. Actually, He's got it in His right hand. And He's going to open that book and He's going to say, you're saying that you didn't do anything wrong. Right here, it says you did. By your own conscience is going to witness against you in that day, the Bible says. And You are going to be found guilty. Those who are rejecting the Word of God, those who are rejecting the Bible, and I don't care if they just reject 1% of it. That's the part, usually, that they're going to be guilty of. That was the bell. Man, I wanted to get through this. Okay? But it's just a lot of good meat in here. All right? So anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and God will lead us on. All right?